Warning. The following broadcast you're about to listen to is filled to the brim with explicit adult language and content. Don't like it? Don't listen to it. Don't complain about it. Just ignore it. If you like it or don't mind it, then listen up and enjoy the show. Welcome to the Regimental Vox, a podcast dedicated to all things Warhammer and wargaming in general. I am your host and Vox operator for the evening, Caleb Meyer. It is Monday, June 28th, 2021. Almost forgot what day of the week it fucking was. This is episode 93, so we are 7 episodes away from the big 100, which admittedly, strangely, if I'm recalling correctly, what is it, the 19th of July? Let's see here, so in 3 weeks, I think it's the 19th of July, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. 3 weeks should be the 3-year anniversary of the show. And, so it'll be a little bit after that we hit episode 100. So, a little housekeeping stuff here quick before we get into other shit. Obviously, there was no episode last week. Had some personal shit going on. All things are good now. No worries. Everything's fine. Internally personal for the most part, admittedly. My brain being fun. And just having a rough day, rough week, rough everything. Don't want to get into it. We're not going to get into it. That was me trying to stumble over my words smoothly, and it was awful. So once again, missed last week. Next week is going to be 4th of July weekend. The 5th, I have plans out of town and stuff, so I will not be putting out an episode next week on Monday. I am going to try and put one out on Tuesday, but, we will see if I'm able to keep to that or not. I'd have to double check schedule stuff and whatnot to see how viable that really is. But, let's go ahead and get up on into it here. As far as what's going on in my neck of the woods, actually quite a few things. I have been hobbying quite a bit. Krista and I were both hobbying a little bit together the other day, but kids getting in the way and stuff. Damn children. We've both been working on some stuff because we have decided to join a local Crusade League. That's right. We're actually going to get out and play some fucking games with real fucking people that aren't each other. Holy shit. We debated back and forth on it, just because work and kids and time and so on and so forth. But after a lot of, just debate back and forth amongst each other, we decided, fuck it, let's do this. So, it's going to start in a couple weeks, and I'll be planning to kind of, go over battle report type stuff and everything else when that time comes. The league is going to be, once again, Crusade. So it's going to be, all the narrative-y bits and the rosters and the Kodak film and the pudding. Krista will be rocking her orcs. Realistically, her first foray into 40K outside of some little tutorial things with me, we're going to try and, run through a bunch of shit, together before we get into the real nitty gritty. But the league is kind of designed to be, introductory to new players. And, even me myself, I feel like, vastly rusty, out of practice, haven't played like a full on game yet of 9th even. Just once again, work, kids, pandemic, all that other bullshit has, kids aren't bullshit. Family's important. Yes, that's it. But all that shit just kind of adds up to, I just haven't gotten the opportunity really. But yeah, it's going to be in 3 week cycles, 2 games in 3 weeks. So there'll be plenty of time for her and I to work schedules around stuff, in theory. So hoping that we can just kind of set up games with our, you know, we're not always going to be in the same pod together. So hoping we can set up games with the other people, preferably, if not back to back, that at least both her and I can fit in one game at the same time together at the same place, just in the interest of, well, you know, saving time and stuff. So, I don't entirely know where the fuck I was going with that, so whatever, fuck it. But yeah, so, like I said, we're gonna get into it. Now, that being said, what's Caleb Meyer gonna play? Well, I debated among, you know, with myself, amongst myself, as if there's multiple of me. I mean, if my brain continues to fall apart, who the fuck knows? There could end up being multiple of me. Yeah, I debated with myself as far as what I wanted to roll with. And I have enough Necrons to do that. AdMech, I technically do have enough AdMech. Because the league is planning to top out. It's going by points, by the way. It's starting at 500, planning to tap out at 2,000. So AdMech in theory I have enough, but once again, you might recall from some time ago, if you've been listening to this show for a while, my cat managed to damage a decent portion of my collection. I haven't actually gone back through and seen what I have. I did sell some of it off, or trade some of it off, rather, at one point, just because I did have, you know, some excess and somebody who was willing to put in a little bit of, you know, TLC to get some of this broken shit working better. So I was like, you know what, fuck it. So yeah, I may or may not have enough at this point. But that being said, I have decided that if I'm learning new edition, like actual playing with other people, and if I am doing this whole learning experience with the Crusade League and so on and so forth, I'm going to rock Adeptus Sororitas. So, while I was originally planning to jump from the Drukhari Codex review into the AdMech one, we're actually going to get into the Adeptus Sororitas one first. Just, well, given the nature of the fact that that's what I'm doing next. So, yeah. Beyond that, you know, so that's big news. Her and I, we've played a little more Curse City. Not much lately. We've been very busy. Once again, work, kids, other bullshit, blah, blah, blah. But we did play last night. Holy fuck. Our first game with having level 3 characters, and it was just an anxiety-inducing nail-biter from start to finish for the most part. We'd been having a really good run of it, and you know, we got the map all set up. We were on a hunt. For those who are not familiar, in a hunt, you have to kill 10 champion models and then get to the extraction zone in order to succeed. Our game started with 9 champion models on the table, including some pretty fucking brutal ones. It was, yeah. By the end of, we as a note, we were doing actually fairly well considering we were getting some real ass dice rolls. It was not pretty. Yeah, despite that, we were doing okay for a while. Holding our own, not really making a whole lot of gains, but not really taking a whole lot of hits either. And then we had the misfortune of drawing an encounter card with Radikar the Wolf. Within a handful of turns, we went from all 4 adventurers ready to rock and roll to only 1 standing and still up and running. Radikar the Wolf is fucking stupid levels of difficult. There's ways that he's easy. In some ways, he's actually easier to kill than some of the other models, or, you know, dudes in the game. He doesn't have a way to, like, heal himself. He doesn't have a means to, excuse me, ignore, like, excessive amounts of damage or anything like that. Instead, he just gets an automatic 1 point reduction. It does go to a minimum of zero, so he can actually completely ignore damage in that way. But as long as you're hitting him with something that does more than one damage a turn, he's able to go down fairly rapidly, unlike the Virkos, where on a 9-up, they ignore shit. So yeah, he's guaranteed to mitigate damage. He doesn't have to roll for anything, but it's only 1 point every single time. It's never more than that. So, yeah, he's a beast. Which he becomes Radikar, the beast in the Soulblight Gravelords book. But yeah, we did manage to beat it though. Or realistically, Krista managed to beat it. Both of my characters were out first. She had one of hers go down near the end. The other one, he managed to finish off the wolf, and that gave us enough points, to win the game. And she fucking bolted, and that was it. You know, we won. Fortunately, we did have a really close survival roll. I forget which character it was. I think it was one of mine. I think it was Cleona. She was cursed and out of action. So on a 1 or 2 on a 12-sided die, she is toast. And I managed to roll a 3. That was a close one. And then I thought for a moment I'd lost my favorite character, Brutug, when I thought I had rolled a 1. But it was just the angle at which I could see the die. It was a 7. I think part of it, too, was just my brain trying to be like, you're fucked. So it just wanted to assume that it was going to be something shitty. And therefore, when it was of a similar shape from my perspective, my just heart just dropped. But fortunately, no. Everybody made it out. We got more characters leveled up to level 3. So we're almost ready to go do this fucking decapitation shit again. So pretty baller stuff. Brutal game though, absolutely brutal. There's a friend of ours that has been interested in trying Curse City, and we've been talking about it a little bit. And we think if we do introduce him into the gameplay and stuff, we're actually probably going to start with Blackstone Fortress instead. Namely because, A, we don't have an ongoing game of Blackstone, so we could just start over without an issue, or do a one-shot or whatever. But B, we've talked about it. We feel like Blackstone is just the easier of the two games. It's the objectives are much simpler. It's just find clues, escape the fucking place. You know, and finding clues is not that hard, realistically speaking. There's a lot of them. So, especially in the late game of a campaign on Blackstone, when you don't even care about clues anymore, you're just fucking mowing through the game and being done with it. So, yeah, while it's a lot more complicated in terms of it has a lot more random dice rolls and a lot more just convoluted who's and what's it's, and Curse City is a much more streamlined game. Some would say simpler. I do feel like that's calling it simpler would be a misnomer because it's fucking brutal. Don't get me wrong, Blackstone isn't exactly Candyland either, but Curse City, holy shit. So, but other than that, yeah, that's what we've been up to in our neck of the woods. So why don't we go ahead and get into the newsy bits? Now, there's been a decent amount of, like, articles and stuff since I last recorded. But there's actually not that much news. Almost all of their more recent articles are either just random weird lore background or fucking just faction focus shit for AOS 3.0 coming out, which I don't blame them. It makes total sense. And this is pretty common. You know, we do have this issue quite frequently where since GW's putting out a new big box of some sort, you know, some big giant release that everyone's excited about, it becomes kind of the news kind of tends to, you know, peter out a little bit. So, but we'll discuss a couple quick things here before we get into the meat and potatoes. For starters, they did show off today a new orc psyker, a weird boy, although I think it's called a werboy. Yeah, werboys. They're the Beast Snaga equivalent of a weird boy. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of cool, like, as far as it's, they show off a couple things that he's able to do, like the squiggly curse. Does some damage and stuff, turns people into squigs. And then he's got Eyes of Mork for a weapons attack, using his psychic powers through his eyeballs. So he's basically become Cyclops. That being said, the model itself, I've really loved most of the stuff they've shown off for the orcs. This one does not spark joy. It's pretty bland. It's a pretty bland model overall. He's just kind of, with a weird pose, he's just kind of standing there, arms outstretched and yelling, and has some weird totem stuff hanging off his back. It's an okay at best model, at least from what I can see in this picture that they showed off. Once again, I always reserve final judgment for when I actually see models in person. Because quite frequently, GW just takes the worst pictures possible of their own products. It's not because it's like blurry or anything like that. It just doesn't, generally speaking, it doesn't accentuate the best features of a model. So, and same with their painting. Yeah, the quality of the paint job is amazing, but it still doesn't typically have a real, like, pop factor that makes the model itself look better. So, but yeah, the model itself is okay at best, in my opinion. I much prefer, much as I fucking hate Finecast, I much prefer the old Finecast weird boy, for appearances sake, anyways. So, but yeah, that's just me. And then the big news, last week, Warhammer Plus. So, we've known about Warhammer Plus for a little while now, but they'd even when they first announced Warhammer Plus, they said that there'll be more details June 23rd. And guess what? June 23rd was not that long ago, and we had a preview. So, they did show off all of the new stuff that they're doing. So, it is going to launch on the 25th of August. It is only $4.99, or excuse me, that's in pounds. $5.99 in US dollars a month, or $59.99 if you take advantage of an annual subscription. What's it gonna do? Well, you get access to the Warhammer animation shit, which they showed off a lot of that before and stuff, so we know about that. They're also doing in-house Warhammer hobby shows as well. So there'll be like a masterclass painting, tutorial show. There will be one that covers like all the lore and stuff in the game. There's one other one that they mentioned. Where'd that go? Lore Masters, Masterclass. Oh yeah, battle reports as well. So, you know, admittedly, like, I do feel like those three items are things that GW's already put out a bunch of free content for, and a bunch of people worldwide put out free content for. So getting people to pay for a subscription for that stuff is going to be an uphill struggle, I feel. But we'll see. And then you get a digital vault of classic Warhammer publications and White Dwarf issues. So if you've missed a bunch of old White Dwarfs that have some fancy rules for some, you know, obscure chapter you're building, or some fucking new Sigmar chamber thing or whatever, you can dig through that. Full access to Warhammer apps, emphasis on plural. So two things. A, they are revamping, they're just ditching the entire AOS app, I believe, and coming out with a whole new one. B, right now the 40K app has a subscription cost to it. I think it's like $3 and some change a month after some fee with your credit card and stuff. I would assume that the AOS one would probably be roughly the same and stuff, blah, blah, blah. Instead, if you're a Warhammer Plus subscriber, you just get access to that stuff as it's just included in your subscription. So, in many ways, it definitely makes the apps more viable, I think, overall. I've still been messing around with the 40K app. As a note, I have not talked about this in a while. When it first came out, I was like, yeah, I see potential, but it's kind of crap. I feel like I did follow that up eventually with, yeah, so they got all this cool stuff. But, you know, everything behind a paywall and stuff, which I get, you know, they're here to make money. But the 40K app has so many, not bugs necessarily, just fucking typos. And yeah, I guess they're bugs because some of them just are, you know, it's not like it's the fucking thing's crashing or anything like that. It's just there's a lot of random rules that are missing, even full-on weapon options that are missing. Like, you could choose them, but you don't know what the fuck they do. And then, hell, I was trying to build a Sororitas force in that app the other day. I might as well have not bothered. Because even though it shows X value for a certain unit, the moment I hit like a 5-point upgrade, it adds 35 points instead. And it does that on multiple units, at least as far as I'm aware, just in the Sororitas book. Though I haven't, you know, gone digging further beyond that. So, moving on. Premium access to our official events. So they're doing events again. You get some sort of VIP treatment. And then the very generic exclusive subscriber offers, whatever the fuck that means. You do get a free exclusive Citadel miniature worth at least £25 every year, and access to a second exclusive subscriber miniature. So the two models that they showed off to start this ball rolling for exclusive miniatures are pretty badass. There's a Vindicare Assassin in like a dilapidated statue head. And then there is a Iron Jaws War Boss model that's pretty cool looking. So both of them are badass. You think you have to maintain your subscription for a year, and then they will ship you the miniature. And there will be a new one each year. So they'll have, basically, if you keep your subscriptions going, you'll get more exclusive models from that. So, I'm trying to think if there's anything else with this part that I wanted to discuss. Not really. So, honestly, that's about it as far as the newsy bits goes. Because once again, a lot of this shit's just faction focus sort of shit. And for AOS 3.0, so there's just not much else to fucking say. So, there was something else I had thought of that I wanted to share, and admittedly, I am drawing a blank. So, we're going to go ahead and take a break. When I come back for the break, if I remember what the fuck it was, I'll start that first. Otherwise, when we come back, I will be starting to get into that Adeptus Sororitas Codex. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Regimental Vox. So I did remember that little thing that I was trying to remember before the break about what it was I was going to mention. It was supposed to be part of the whole what's going on in my neck of the woods thing. I'm finally going to go about cracking out my Grandmaster edition of Titanicus. I've built the knights that are in it, but I haven't really touched on any of the other stuff. Still haven't played a game of Titanicus, etc. Really want to do so, though, sometime soon. So I am planning to split it up, do one Traitor Legion, one Loyalist Legion. I'm going to try and do lore friendly and things with rules available to them. So I'm kind of going through on the inner tubes and trying to figure out which legions I want to build. But so yeah, not super important or anything, but it is what I was going to mention. So there you go. Now let's go ahead though and get started on this Sororitas Codex review here. So what I'm going to do today though, We're going to go ahead and go over the orders, the Orders Militant, which is basically their chapter tactics. We'll be going over that as well as some of their detachment ability stuff. And then we will lead into other stuff in the future. Once again, obviously it's going to be broken up into multiple pieces. I am going to try and find the time, though, to just sit down and do the rest of the pieces and then go through it all. So, I do want to mention up front, though, for those of you who are going from, who are familiar with Sororitas in 8th, going into 9th, there are many cool upgrades and features and so on and so forth. Some of them just fluffy, but still adds a certain, you know, certain zazz to the army. There are a few not so cool things. I do want to cover this just because it's so fucking disappointing. Retributors, holy fuck. So they went from in 8th edition, the Sororitas book, they were like the premier unit, at least in my opinion. The ability to move and ignore penalties to shoot with heavy weapons. Their flamethrowers could fire further by default. They had like the special, was it Storm of Retribution stratagem that would let them do all sorts of crazy fucking shit. So the all that really awesome shit, it's gone. It's completely gone. Now I haven't gone through all the stratagems yet, so maybe I'm overlooking something. But yeah, the retributors, they got fucking raffle stomped with the goddamn Nerf bat. Like there's no fucking tomorrow. All they have now is Storm of Retribution is now an ability. Each time a model in this unit makes an attack with a happy Hepatitis. With a heavy weapon, the target does not gain the benefits of cover against the attack. Whoop-de-fuckity-do. I mean, ignoring cover is good. It's very useful, don't get me wrong. But when you compare it to what they had, what the fuck? Yeah, granted, they did, you know, they were OP. Bah, I could not spit out my words. They were severely OP in 8th edition. Just they had so many crazy ass abilities and stuff. It's part of why I have a dedicated multi-melta retributor squad and a dedicated heavy flamer retributor squad. Yeah, I don't know if I'm really going to be rocking the retributors much at this point. Probably a little bit here or there, but big fucking disappointment. So, but let's go ahead and take it back a notch and let's go through these orders, shall we? We're going to go ahead and start it from the top with the order that I am planning to paint and operate my Sisters of Battle as, Order of Our Martyred Lady. Now, I know that a lot of people might say, oh, but wait, that's like your Ultramarines and like just your basic standard color scheme that's not creative or whatever else. And to that argument, I provide a very large fuck you. I think the color scheme of the Order of Our Martyred Lady is iconic as fuck. And that's why I want to paint it that color scheme. It is just, it's the bee's knees. And the order ability is not half bad itself, so let's get into that. The Blood of Martyrs. At the end of any phase other than the morale phase in which any unit with this conviction were destroyed, you gain one miracle dice. It's miracle die, but dice because it's GW. This is in addition to any miracle dice gained at the end of a phase in which a character unit with this conviction was destroyed. So extra miracle dice, which admittedly we should pause this whole going over the orders thing and explain what some of this other shit means. So first of all, I did mean to cover detachment ability, so sorry, full stop. Brakes on. Detachment abilities. A couple important notes here. In order to have an order conviction, you must have Everybody in the detachment from the same order. And I don't... Was that that one that... I'm trying to remember. I don't think it's the order conviction. There's another thing that requires you to have... I think it's the sacred rites. Now that I'm thinking about it. Sacred rites requires you to have one faction in totality in order to count as Battleforged. What the fuck? Where is it? I'm trying to go through here now that I forgot about that stuff. No, I don't want the Crusade rules. Oh, my goodness. All right. Sacred rites. No, that doesn't say it either. I know there's something in here that requires you to have the all Adeptus Sororitas units and applicable units in order to use those things. I want to say it's sacred rites, but I'm not seeing it right offhand. So fuck it. Let's move on. But before we go back to going over the orders, I do want to explain what acts of faith are here quick. That's what you do with the miracle dice. Once per phase, one unit from your army with this ability can perform one act of faith. To do so, you will use miracle dice. You gain miracle dice through either vengeance or sacrifice. As well as at the start of each battle round, you gain one miracle dice. Vengeance, any Adeptus Sororitas units from your army destroys one or more enemy units. So it doesn't matter if you... I don't think it matters if you kill like 40 different units. It's still just one. And then sacrifice. Any Adeptus Sororitas character units from your army are destroyed. That is how you get the miracle dice. They can be gained via other rules. No matter the source, you can only gain miracle dice for such a rule. If every unit from your army has the Adeptus Sororitas keyword, excluding models with the Cult Imperialis, Agents of the Imperium, or Unaligned keywords, each time you gain a miracle die, roll a d6. This number you roll is the value of that die. This value cannot be changed or re-rolled unless a rule specifically states otherwise. Keep your dice to one side. This is your miracle dice pool. Performing an act of faith. Before making a dice roll for a model or a unit from your army with the Acts of Faith ability, if you have one or more dice in your miracle dice pool, that unit can perform an act of faith. Whew! This section is really long. To do so, select one or more of the dice from your miracle dice pool instead of making any or all of those dice rolls. For each individual dice that is being rolled as part of the dice roll, you can select one miracle dice from your miracle dice pool to be substituted in place of that dice. Oh my god, the amount of times they use dice in singular, it's mind-boggling. To the point where I talk about dice that way, where I refer, hey, pass me the dice, when it's one fucking die. It's terrible. Terrible habit. Anywho, the dice that is being substituted for is not rolled, and instead the value of the selected miracle dice is used as if it had been rolled. Each miracle dice can only be selected for substitution once. Once all miracle dice substitutions have been made, remove the chosen miracle dice from your miracle dice pool and roll any remaining unsubstituted dice that are part of the dice roll. Ah! I was trying to, like, read it off really fast and failing. You can use miracle dice when a unit performs an act of faith for any of the following types of dice roll. An advance roll, a charge roll, a hit roll, a wound roll, saving throw, damage roll, morale test. A miracle dice is not a modifier or an inherently modified dice roll. For example, if you use a miracle dice with a value of 1 for the morale test, that is considered to be an unmodified roll of 1. A miracle dice that has been used for a substitution can never be re-rolled. This means that if any re-rolls occur, the numbers and values of any miracle dice that have already been substituted in the dice roll remain the same for the re-roll. That was kind of cool, actually. I don't even know if you can understand half of what I just said there, but I'm pretty proud of myself for it. Basically, you spend a miracle die, you roll it, let's say you get a 6, you add a 6 now to your dice pool, your miracle die pool. When you want to use a miracle die in any of those things I mentioned, advance, charge, hit, wound, saving throw, damage roll, morale test, boom, there you go. You do it before you roll your shit, and then if you need to do rerolls, it doesn't get to reroll. It's fucked. It stays put. Done deal. But once again, that requires you to have... an all Sororitas army. So keep that in mind. Very powerful ability, obviously. The ability to just say, yeah, no, this is a 6, or yeah, no, this is a 1. Obviously, depending on what you have in your dice pool, but still, So point being is that you get you get a basically a quote unquote sacrifice miracle die of a sorts, and then you get another one even if a character unit with that conviction was destroyed. So if, I would assume that even if that character was the only thing that died, that you would still get two miracle dice out of it, basically. And then this part is the one I really like, though. Each time an attack is made by a model with this conviction, if this unit is below its starting strength, add one to that attack's hit roll. Fuck yeah! Mind you, this is reworded from the previous edition. Previous edition had it so that if you had just lost a model, just if at any point that squad had taken a loss, even if you healed it back or whatever else, you get that plus one to your attack hit rolls for the rest of the game. Very powerful. This nerfs it mildly, but it makes sense, admittedly. But yeah, and it makes sense from a fluffy standpoint. Order of our martyred lady. So if somebody has died because and then in turn been martyred, then you will gain the ability to hit, add one to your attacks hit rolls, because they're extra pissed, and fired up and all like, yay, martyrdom, but no, sister's dead. So yeah, then we got our epic deed stratagem, honor the martyrs, 1 CP, use a stratagem at the end of a phase in which an order of our martyred lady character model from your army was destroyed by an enemy unit. Excluding models that were destroyed and subsequently returned to the battlefield that phase due to any rules, e.g. the Divine Intervention stratagem on page 66. That was unnecessary detail, but I like it. Until the end of the battle, each time an Order of our Martyred Lady model makes an attack against that enemy unit, add one to the attack's wound roll. This is, this is some pretty potent shit. This combined with that add one to your attacks hit roll, if you lose a character, you pop that you pop this stratagem to single out whoever the fuck killed that character. And now, if the unit shooting at them has even lost one singular model, boom, they're now hitting on what, twos, I think it is. I think that even basic battle sisters, I'm pretty sure, fucking ballistic skill three. Come on, where? There we go. Yes, so you'd be looking at two ups. So, yeah, and then with the wound roll and stuff, getting a plus one, some really great stuff there. Warlord trait, Shield Bearer. This is, once again, a little lengthy. Each time an attack is allocated to this warlord, subtract one for the damage characteristic of that attack to a minimum of one. Each time you get a miracle dice at the end of a phase, as a result of vengeance, if this warlord destroyed any enemy models, units during that phase, the miracle dice is automatically a six. Each time you gain a miracle dice at the end of a phase as a result of sacrifice, or if this warlord was destroyed during that phase, that miracle dice is automatically a six. That's some pretty potent shit. Yeah, actually, now that I'm looking, I'm like, damn, that's some mega potent shit. If the warlord destroyed... Okay, so in order for the vengeance boost to work, your warlord has to be the one to destroy an enemy unit. And let's see here. At the end, each time you get the end of a phase as a result of sacrifice... Okay, then in this case, for the sacrifice thing, or if the warlord was destroyed during that phase, which admittedly seems counterproductive to state it that way, but get an automatic six there too. So a lot of power in that warlord trait. Relic, Martyr's Vengeance. Replaces an Inferno pistol. Let's go ahead and pull up what the fuck an Inferno pistol does. It's, for starters, lore-wise, I'm pretty certain that it's basically like a super teeny-tiny fucking, melt-a-gun, like a melt-a-pistol, essentially. That's not what I wanted. Here we go. Alright, Inferno pistol. It's 6-inch range, pistol 1, strength 8, AP neg 4, D6 damage. At half range, D6 plus 2 damage. Martyr's Vengeance doesn't care about the range. It has a 12-inch range, though, on the weapon itself. It's strength 9, still AP neg 4, and it does D6 plus 3 damage. So, yeah, nasty fucking piece of kit. Just, holy fuck. So, I'm considering running. I am going to be running our Martyred Lady. I am considering using Shield Bearer and then trying to get that Martyr's Vengeance relic at some point. Alright, next up. Order of the Valor's Heart. Stoic Endurance. Each time a model with this conviction would lose a wound as a result of a mortal wound, roll a d6. On a 5-up, that wound is not lost. Each time an attack is allocated to a model with this conviction, if that attack has an AP characteristic of neg 1 or neg 2, the armor penetration characteristic of that attack is reduced by 1. So, first part, mortal wound ignored. That's how I feel about that. That's unfair. It's not terrible, but while this game is certainly amping up the amount of mortal wounds it dishes out, kind of like Age of Sigmar and stuff, it's becoming a more regular feature in the game. I still hate the fact that this is only good against mortal wounds. Yeah, I mean, one could say a 5-up feel no pain on all wounds is pretty fucking incredibly powerful, but this almost seems silly. And then the neg 1 or neg 2 going down by 1, I mean, it adds a little bit extra to your durability, but that's about it. So, it's not bad. As far as the trait goes, the first part I don't think is all that useful, though. At least not. It's very situational is more the point. Stratagem, Blind Faith. Use a stratagem in your shooting phase when an Order of the Valor's Heart unit from your army is selected to shoot, or in the fight phase when they are selected to fight. Until the end of that phase, each time a model in that unit makes an attack, you can ignore any or all hit roll, ballistic skill, and weapon skill modifiers. So, that's pretty cool. Being able to shut down your enemy's bonuses to hit and all sorts of shit like that is definitely a perk. Warlord trait, Impervious to Pain. Each time this warlord performs an act of faith, it regains one lost wound. And each time this warlord would lose a wound, roll a d6 and a 5-up, that wound is not lost. So, Impervious to Pain does let your warlord have that 5-up against everything, feel no pain dealio. But, in my mind, it's a bonus, I guess. Regaining lost wounds. This is useful stuff, but realistically, how much are you putting your warlord in danger to make those useful? So, Casket of Penance is the relic. The bearer has the following ability. While an enemy unit is within 3 inches of the bearer, subtract 1 from the toughness characteristics of models in that enemy unit, and if they're chaos keywords, subtract 1 from the strength characteristics as well. Yeah, it's not bad once again, but it's not great at the same time. Lowering your enemy's toughness is fine. It's not too terribly often that you'll find that lowered strength being all that useful. I guess it's going to make a lot of 3-up attacks become 4-ups possibly for you. And in reverse, the same thing with the toughness. It's not bad, but it's not great. Next up, Order of the Bloody Rose, Quick to Anger. Each time a unit with this conviction fights, if it made a charge move, charged or was performed a heroic intervention this turn, then until that fight is resolved, add 1 to the attack's characteristic of models in this unit. And each time a model with this conviction makes a melee attack, if that soldier's unit made a charge move, was charged or performed a heroic intervention this turn, improve the AP characteristic of that attack by 1. Improve the... Okay, got it. Sorry, for a brief moment I was like, wait, that was weird. But I was just I'm very exhausted and my brain is not thinking right. Stratagem. Well, quickly go over that first part. If you're going to be doing a lot of melee, this is a good choice. If you're not going to be doing a lot of melee, then why the fuck are you even looking at this page? But in all seriousness, yeah, it's definitely a very much melee-focused order. I mean, being able to improve the amount of attacks that you're doing, as well as the AP characteristic, is definitely a really cool feature if you're melee focused. So if you're not gonna go all in, don't go at all. But continuing on here, tear them down is the stratagem for 1 CP. Use it in the fight phase when a unit from your army selected to fight until the end of that phase. Each time a model in that unit makes a melee attack, an unmodified hit roll of 6 automatically wounds the target. So yeah, just once again, building off of that whole, you're doing extra attacks, you are, you know, going to be having improved AP, then you're going to be going ahead and turning unmodified 6s into automatic wounds. You're just overall racking and stacking a shit ton of buffs that are built around one specific playstyle. Get in their fucking teeth and rip them out. Warlord trait, Blazing Ire. Add 1 to the attack characteristic of this warlord. This warlord is eligible to charge in a turn in which it advanced. What are these for? For fucking melee. Yeah, you know, so, I mean, you can be doing some pretty ridiculous shit. Well, let me finish this up here. Relic, Beneficence. It replaces a chainsword. So let's go ahead and take a look at the sister's chainsword specifically. I don't think there's anything different about their chainsword versus others. They do have some weapons, namely storm bolters and flamethrowers, that actually are different from their regular counterparts. So let's see here. Chainsword, strength user, AP 0, 1 damage, 1 additional attack. So there you go, another attack. As it is, but Beneficence also does +2 strength, -2 AP, 1 damage, and instead of 1 bonus attack, it is 3 extra attacks, and if there are 6 or more enemy models within 3 inches, it's D3 +3 attacks instead. So, you know, let's go ahead and just, take our Canoness. Let me find her data sheet here quick. Really need to just start, like, I'm afraid to actually put anything on my books at all, but might as well just start tagging pages. Canoness, 2+ weapon skill, strength 3, so you are looking at, with Beneficence, hitting at strength 5 on a 2-up. She has 4 attacks, so let's just go ahead, let's say she's charged. Turn. She is with Beneficence. If there are 6 or more enemy models, she's looking at potentially 1 extra attack for the charge, and up to 6 additional attacks. So, on the, you know, for having Beneficence. So you're looking at 11 attacks, possibly. Keep that in mind. It's 3 minimum, though. Still, so we'll just go ahead and go with the minimum. There, you're looking at, what is that? 8 attacks then? Yeah, 8 attacks. At AP -3 instead of -2 because you did that charge. If she has Blazing Ire though as well, it's actually 9 attacks. And you can even move her, advance her, and still get that fucking charge off. At, you know, strength 5, AP -3, potentially anywhere from 9 to 12 attacks. You know, it just turns her into a fucking blender. For, you know, not much cost overall. And Canoness is pretty cheap. So, yeah, pretty powerful shit. Overall, once again, are you going melee? If the answer is no, ignore this order. It's not going to do you much good. You know, or rather, it's not going to hurt you, but it's, you're not, once again, this is a, if you're going to go at all, you go big. You just got to go all in on it. So next, we have Order of the Ebon Chalice. They have the ability Daughters of the Emperor. If any units in your army have this conviction when you're determining which sacred rites are active for your army after you've determined your mission, which we probably won't go over sacred rites today, but they're basically like canticles and things of that nature. They're little bonuses that you get to either roll or choose. If you choose, you choose one. If you roll, you get two. But in this case, you do not roll two. Instead, after you've selected one, you get to select a second one. That's pretty cool, actually. It basically just overrides, instead of it being random, you just get to pick two. So you can pick the two that are most effective for your particular opponent, or maybe you have a very particular lifestyle. I don't even know where the fuck that came from. A very particular play style that you're going for. So being able to just pick both of those sacred rites might be useful there. And then each time a model or unit with this conviction performs an act of faith, you can first discard a miracle dice. If you do so, one miracle dice you use in that act of faith is considered to be a 6, irrespective of its actual value. So basically, you're going to use more miracle dice doing this because you'll just discard whatever you don't want. And then you're still going to spend a miracle die on top of that. And it has to be, it ends up being a 6. So you spend 2 miracle dice, but you get a 6. So if you got a bunch of shit ones, that's a nice way to override that. Stratagem, Cleansing Flame. Use it in the shooting phase. Till the end of the phase, add 4 inches to the range of all flame weapons that unit is equipped with. And each time a model in that unit makes an attack with a flame weapon on an unmodified wound roll of 4 up, the target suffers 1 mortal wound in addition to any normal damage. A maximum of 3 mortal wounds could be inflicted per phase via this stratagem. So, if you're going flamer heavy, definitely a boost there. If you're not really rocking flamers, useless. So, making your flamers have extra range is very nice. The bonus mortal wounds, it's bonus. It's only up to 3, so it's not a crazy amount, but every little bit helps. Warlord trait, terrible knowledge. It's just terrible. If this warlord's on the battlefield, the miracle dice you gain at the start of the first battle round is automatically a 6. Alright, that's pretty cool. Starting the game off strong. While this warlord is on the battlefield, each time you spend a command point to use a stratagem, you can roll a d6 on a 5-up. That command point is refunded. So, it's a good way if you're looking to spend a lot of CP on a lot of stratagems. This will allow you to hopefully recuperate some of those. Annunciation of the Creed. It replaces a Condemner bolt gun. Oh, this is the relic, by the way. So let's see here. Condemner bolt gun. Once again, we're going to go ahead and take a look at that entry in the weapons thing as soon as I can fucking find it. There we go. It's got 2 profiles. You select one and do the attack, but you can select both. But then all the attacks are at -1 to hit. Okay, so the bolt gun's 24-inch range, rapid fire 1, strength 4, AP 0, 1 damage. The condemner stake is also 24 inches. It's an assault 1, strength 4, AP -1, 2 damage. And each time the attack is against a psyker model, that model's unit suffers D3 mortal wounds in addition to the normal damage. So, if you're hunting down a psyker and stuff, that's pretty neat. But what do we got here for the Annunciation? The bolt gun mode is just the same. My dog is freaking out for some reason and distracting me. It's just the same as the other bolt gun mode. And then you got Blessed Stake. So that replaces the Condemner Stake. It is improved AP, AP neg 2, but beyond that, the stat line's the same. And then let's see here. Each time you select a target for this weapon, ignore the lookout, sir rule. Okay. Each time you attack with this weapon's blessed stake profile is allocated to a psyker model, that model's unit suffers 3 mortal wounds in addition to the normal damage, whereas normally it's D3 mortal wounds. So, that's some pretty good stuff, I think, overall. You know, if you're going up against a Psyker heavy army, sure, yeah, you got some boosts there. If you're not, it just doesn't really do a whole lot for you. Then we have Order of the Argent Shroud, deeds, not words. Each time a unit with this conviction makes a normal move or advances until the end of your shooting phase, it counts as having remained stationary. So this would be a good way to make up for the fucking Retributor bullshit. And then each time a unit with this conviction is selected to shoot or fight, you can reroll one hit roll or one wound roll while resolving that unit's attacks. This is a pretty nice one. The remain stationary thing is great, especially since you can advance and still count as remain stationary. You can just move your infantry around much faster than anybody else can, which is really nice. And the ability to just count it as remaining stationary, even with heavy weapons, is definitely a boon. Other part there, being able to reroll one hit roll or one wound roll, is definitely a nice feature. Mind you, it's not gonna like usually make or break everything, but when you really need that clutch, wound to go off, that's a good way to do that. Faith is our shield is their stratagem at 1 CP in any phase. If one of your models would lose a wound as a result of a mortal wound until the end of the phase, each time that model or any other model in this unit would lose a wound, it's a 4+ to ignore it. This is very similar to, what was it, the Order of the Valorous Heart, which is ignoring on a 5+. I'm honestly not that crazy impressed by it. Once again, mortal wounds aren't as big of a... I mean, they are a big deal, but they're not at the same time. Not as useful as ignoring just any wound. Next, the Warlord trait, Selfless Heroism. This Warlord is eligible to perform a heroic intervention if it's within 6 inches horizontally and 5 vertically of any enemy unit instead of 3 horizontally and 5 vertically. Each time this Warlord makes a heroic intervention move, it can move up to 6 inches. All the rules for the intervention still apply. So a big focus on, getting your Warlord into combat. So... and then at the start of the fight phase, if this Warlord is within engagement range of any enemy units, it can fight first that phase. So that's kind of a plus there, being able to know that your Warlord is always going first, if they're in, engagement range. Yeah, that's definitely a plus. But it's not, I would say if you're going melee centric, this is not the army for you still. Go Bloody Rose. Relic, Quicksilver Veil, adds 3 inches to the bear's move characteristic, and each time an attack is made against the bear, subtract 1 from that attack's hit roll. Being able to move faster is nice, but since it's limited to just the one model, it kind of makes them a bit of a sore thumb style target. Although they are harder to hit, it's okay. Lastly, we have Order of the Sacred Rose, which has Devout Serenity. Each time a combat attrition test is taken for a unit with this conviction, it's automatically passed. Huge boost. Now that Battle Sisters can go up to 20 models, you lose one and that's fine. That's it. That's all you lose in the morale phase at worst. And then each time you use a miracle die, when a model or unit with this conviction performs an act of faith, roll 1d6 on a 4+, you gain a miracle die. So that has the ability to spend dice to, do the things you want to do, but then refund them just like a CP. So that is really cool. Stratagem, the Emperor's Judgment for 1 CP. Use it in the shooting phase. Until the end of the phase, each time an attack is made with a ranged weapon by models in the unit that you've used that on, an unmodified hit roll of 6 scores 1 additional attack. Exploding sixes. Always, always fun. Warlord trait, Light of the Divine. Once per turn, when this Warlord performs an act of faith, 1 miracle dice used in the act of faith is considered to be a 6. I feel like we just went over something like that. So similar to the Order of the Ebon Chalice, except for the fact that it's in a stratagem form, instead of it being on everybody. The one on Ebon Chalice is a little bit more punishing on how it works. But yeah, you know, it's yeah, I would say that this isn't half bad to have. It's just it's only good on the Warlord specifically, so it's not great either. The Warlord has the following ability, Light of the Divine. It's an aura. While a core unit is within 6 inches of this Warlord, if that core unit falls back, it's still able to shoot. So that's really nice to get your ass out of a combat you don't want to be in, and then be able to turn around and shoot at people anyways. So, and then lastly, we have the Relic, Light of St. Agnetha. Replace the Brazier of Holy Fire. It's 12-inch range, Assault D6, and then star for that stat line. The rest of the way, because it has a special ability. Each time it attacks, maybe this weapon, that attack automatically hits the target, and on an unmodified wound roll of 4 up or 2 up, if the target contains any demon models, the target suffers one mortal wound and the attack sequence ends. It's just an upgraded brazier. That's nothing to write home about, so. Yeah. So, despite the fact that I am exhausted and falling apart in my chair, I'm sure that I've missed some stuff when I've yawned or whatever else. I've been trying to edit this as we go. It's taken me a lot longer to record than I intended, so I'd hope to get further, but I am just fucking beat. And I have plans this evening, so I don't really have time to stop this and go back at it later, unfortunately. So, as far as winners go, I mean, I'm all about that Order of Our Martyred Lady. Valorous Heart's got some cool stuff. I really love Bloody Rose, though. Bloody Rose is fucking baller if you've got the right build. Which, admittedly, I've thought about doing a more melee-centric thing and going Bloody Rose, but the red and black. I know one would say, well, it doesn't matter. You can just play it how you want as long as you make it clear. I'm just a bit of a purist for my own sake and stuff. Not hard and fast rule, but it's just my preference. So, but yeah, Martyred Lady and Bloody Rose are my favorites. The other convictions, I will say, compared to 8th edition, where I felt like some of them were just crap and other ones were pretty good, this does a much better job of just kind of balancing out all of them to make all of them at least somewhat viable. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I could actually vote for a worse, because they're all really fucking good. So, yeah, we'll have to, see once I actually try some of them out if they are any good or not. But at any rate, I think we're going to call that a call. As always, you can follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/theRegimentalVoxPodcast. You can follow me on Twitter @RegimentalVox. You can also check out the Danger Close Painting Studio on Facebook as well. There will be links in the show notes to all of these things. And I feel like there's something else I'm forgetting about now at this point because I'm so fucking tired. But I can't think of it. So if I missed it, oops, I guess that is what it is. So, but let's wrap this up. Thank you guys for listening. I will catch you all in the next episode. This is Caleb Meyer signing out for the evening. Have a wonderful week and safe holiday weekend, everyone.